listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning, good morning,
good morning. I'll turn my mic on. That'll be good. Everybody could hear me. I got everybody else's mic turned on, but they're being silent right now, letting me do my producer thing and welcome you to A Biblical Response. And today, we always have interesting topics. Today, the hour is going to start with a very special guest from the phone for the first 10 minutes or so. And you know who she is. I'll introduce you to her, and you'll say, "Oh, I know her." And I'm glad she's... Oh, wait a minute, which I forgot. Okay. And Stephanie moved to a mic, and I... didn't see that. Okay. Welcome, anyway. And my two co-hosts, normally Keith Masters makes three, but Keith and his family are traveling today, and so I wish them, pray that they'll have good travel mercies and have good time together and be safe coming home.
Yeah.
But, okay, what's going on here? Oh, got to turn up the volume.
There we go.
All right. Yeah, I'm a little distressed today.
It's all good.
You don't need to know why, but it's part of life. Yeah. Anyway, Ann Limhoko, one of our wonderful co-hosts.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be serve with you, and as well, Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's a great. This is a great team. And Keith, of course. When we're all together, there's a tremendous amount of energy here, and God is moving, and Holy Spirit's releasing stuff. And
although we do like to have a lot of fun, and so I want to tell you something. This morning I woke up and I went, okay, what is today? I've got to find out what the national day is, right? So I went to look. The International Day of... It's an International Day of Waffle Day.
It's Waffle Day?
It's Waffle Day. It's also the National Newburgh Lobster Day. I didn't know what that was, so I need to go find out what that is. But the one that excited me the most...
Waffles?
Was its...
okay, sorry, that's all I heard is waffles.
Is
waffle.
Bed in Peace Day, for Peace Day, and I'm thinking, you get to lay in bed all day, and maybe that will bring peace because you're not with anybody else.
Oh, the Lord, they need the Prince of Peace if they're not at peace, and then they lay in bed.
Yes.
There's a long list of world leaders we hope would stay in bed today.
Well, we're talking a little bit about peace today, so that's a good thing.
And we're going to get into the topic for today, but first I want to introduce our guest that's coming in over the phone, Dr. Brenda McMenamin.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda, welcome.
Well, hello.
It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here with you.
And Brenda is a constitutional scholar.
Yeah.
And she teaches several areas of constitutional, the history, the substance. You can tell more about what you do there. But she's our go-to gal for constitutional information. And today, because... in our discussion of what we might do on the program, we were talking about challenges to the president's authority from, you know, all the lawfare that's going on out there, trying to stop him from doing stuff. And, you know, we'd asked ourselves, well, what authority does the president really have that the Constitution gives him, and other things that relate to that? And so reached out to Dr. Brenda, and she was willing to be with us for the next 10 minutes or so. And so, Brenda, with that in mind, I'm just going to turn this conversation over to you.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here with y'all, and I know you've asked me to go over the constitutional responsibilities of the president. So I thought I'd share these six areas. Can you believe there's only six? And then I'm going to go into the 19 different areas that we have grown to expect the president to be responsible for, but really are not constitutional. And then I'll go into the four areas, the reasons, the four major drawbacks, why we don't want the president to have that much responsibility. So let's start off with the first responsibility is that he's the chief of state over Americans. And it's interesting when you read the debates from the Federalist Papers and the constitutional debates that they couldn't decide whether the executive branch should be several people or just one. And they decided that they wanted one man so there would be no smoke screens, no blaming. There'd be one man to carry that responsibility. Then the second responsibility was that he's commander-in-chief over the military. The third is that he's the chief executive office over the whole executive branch of the government. So he is the one who executes the law that is passed by our legislative branch. Then the fourth responsibility, he's the chief diplomat in handling foreign relations. Five, he's the chief architect for needed legislation. So that doesn't mean that he writes it or that he votes on it, but he does give ideas to the legislature, and we see that with our present executive officer, and we're very happy for it. Number six, he's the conscience of the nation in granting pardons or reprieves when he feels justice requires them. And so we've seen a lot of that from our past two administrations where there were those pardons, and some of them we feel were constitutional, some of them we feel weren't, but that's a true responsibility for the president. Now, there's 19 different areas that we, not because it was a constitutional amendment, not because it was passed into law, it's just been a creep of power beyond what his true constitutional authority is, and that is that the president has taken the responsibility of maintaining full employment for the workforce. That's not his responsibility. Number two, the task of ensuring a level of agricultural prosperity. Number three, the task of developing a national housing program. Number three, to be over atomic energy resources. Five, over private loans and private insurance programs. Six, providing various kinds of federal relief for the victims of natural disasters throughout the country. Number seven, administering a national welfare program. Eight, administering a national Medicare and Medicaid program. Nine, administering national Social Security program. 10, allocating billions of dollars for educating the young. Now, isn't it interesting that we're looking at abolishing the Department of Education? And there are some people that are a little alarmed by that, but it was not even created until 1979.
Right.
And we see that the standard of our education system has plummeted since then. So that's something that we really should be thinking, how can we undo that? Number 11 is settling major labor union management disputes. 12, administering a network of health agencies. 13, administering the EPA. 14, administering nearly 40% of the nation's land area and its resources. 15, administering supervisory control over the discovery and development of all major energy resources. 16, regulating all major United States industries, such as steel, automobile manufacturing, coal mining, oil production, metal mining, and so forth. 17, supervising all radio and television broadcasting in the United States. 18, monitoring the manufacturing and distribution of food and drugs and requiring special permission before any drug can be distributed. 19, initiating various types of federal programs on a regional basis to replace many powers and activities originally reserved to the sovereign state. Now, a lot of this started in different times, but there was really a concentration in the shift of our balance of powers in 1913. And so since then, with all these different areas of responsibility on one person in one branch is unbelievably expensive. And it makes the government very sluggish and inefficient. It places billions and probably now trillions, right, of dollars at the disposal of the executive department. And then six, it's impossible for one human being to effectively administer all the things we've assigned to the president of the United States. Mm. So how did this happen? Basically, Christians have withdrawn our responsibility to watch over our communities and over government and make sure that policy honors God. And we have a history of liberty because the framers and the founding fathers, the original colonists, made sure that laws honored God. Mm. And so the more we get back to understanding our Constitution, understanding the original intent, reassuming our responsibility before God to be a good steward of our liberty, I think we can see an enormous amount of liberty coming and see these areas shrink back to the original intent of the Constitution.
Hmm. That's a lot.
It was a lot. I was trying to understand all of them.
I was writing as fast as I could. That was really, really good. So do you see this happening? Do you see him shrinking it back? Do you see the leadership taking authority where it should be and
yeah.
cutting back where it should go?
I really do, don't you?
Yes.
I think that, you know, we overwhelmingly put this president in office, you know, when he won through the constitutional means and by the popular vote also. The American people are ready for this. We want this. And it's really fun to see. It's going to be a battle, though, because these departments that are over all these different areas have people that are regulating us, and we didn't vote them in, and we can't vote them out.
The federal bureaucracy.
So I think
yep.
some of the things that President Trump is boldly enacting is working toward restoring the original intent of the Constitution. It's fun to see, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Brenda, I know that you have to go, but we wanted to thank you because we are going to be talking about what's happening in our world right now and the spiritual battle we see, because we have a whole contingent of people who are so against Trump. Everything that he's doing, they're wanting to throw a lawsuit in court, or they want to just, you know, dismantle everything that he's doing. So we thank you for coming at the beginning of our program and telling us the authority
well,
he
I'm
does have.
Tune in, and I thank you for addressing this. I'll be praying for y'all, and I'm excited to hear what you're sharing.
Thank you, Brenda.
You so much.
God
thank
bless you. See you soon, Brenda.
God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Well, I sure hope that we can follow that up with something. I'm telling you what, that was fast and furious. I wouldn't mind taking some of her classes.
I know. She's, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was really good. You know, it's interesting because we, as we talked yesterday, first of all, let us say that we have changed over our leadership
producer.
Here. Producer here in the room. So you're going to go from a male voice to a female voice.
And her name is Karen.
Well, or no voice at all.
Well, oh no, we haven't even heard you talk yet this morning. So, okay. So, well, we're glad you're here. We know that David had to leave.
And
so
if you have anything to say, Karen, that the Lord
please,
stirs in you, just
yes.
offer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, you know, we had settled yesterday on a topic of the huge division in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this can go in so many different directions because, yeah. you know, even when you were saying that there's people so against Trump, we're even seeing people that voted for him go, uh-oh, what did we do? Because they don't understand mm-hmm. what he's doing. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today and just yeah. kind of how and why. And that's why we had Brenda on in the beginning to make sure that we understand what the power of the president truly is. And again, we've made it something that it shouldn't
have been.
Be. Mm-hmm. And we put power back. Well, George Washington said, I will not be king. He knew putting power into one entity was not the right way to go. They mm-hmm. needed to get away from that. And so he was very adamant that he would not be king, and so that's why a president's position and the three branches of government and all of those, so it's an equal amount. So they're not, of course, they do fight against each other at times because they don't always agree with what the other branch is doing, but it's the power that is equally divided, so there isn't one.
Oh, there's checks and balances.
There's checks and balances.
They have to balance each other, the three branches of government, mm-hmm. and our founding fathers sought the Lord. Mm-hmm. The government that we have is only in place, the U.S. Constitution is only in place because it's a blueprint from heaven. I really do believe that.
Right.
And we have over hundreds of years, and Brenda actually called out the church, if you heard in her introduction,
right up at
she
the
called
front.
Out the Christians, yeah. that we have taken a back seat and allowed the government to totally grow to a size that it's not supposed to
and
be.
And how many times have we talked about that on this show? I mean, mm-hmm. we have taken it back to there so many times. I will tell you, I want to talk a little bit, before we talk about the division and what the problems are, I really want to talk about unity. You've got the two parts, you've got division, you've got unity, and you talk about a rabbit hole. Oh, I went down that rabbit hole, and in my looking online, it went to Aesop's Fable was the first,
Who is this, Aesop?
Aesop's Fable.
Oh.
Was the first talk about this unity, how do I say this? My mind went to United We Stand, Divided We Fall. I was trying to think, what did I look up? United We Stand, Divided We Fall. And the first, my brain has just gone sideways.
That's okay.
So Aesop's Fable was the first mention of it, and then we've had speeches like Patrick Henry, Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, even Sonny and Cher in the song, Elton John's song, the state's motto of Kentucky is United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Missouri's flag, I didn't know that Missouri's flag had United We Stand, Divided We Fall on it. Books like Harry Potter has United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Broadway, the Newsies, video games, Grand Theft Auto, TV shows like MASH have all used United We Stand. So it's not just a political thing. It's also not just a Republican thing. It is across the board. People understand mm-hmm. that if you don't stand together, mm-hmm. then it's division, and you're not going to be as strong, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we want unity. We want peace. That's not a Democrat or Republican thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tear down the foundation of something, it can't stand. And so mm-hmm. what did the framers do?
Mm-hmm.
They framed something called the Constitution of the United States that brought unity because it was built on the scriptures. You have to go back to the foundation. The last 4 years is almost like there's been this big, huge machine that's been coming into our nation and taking humongous bites. It's been whittled away through the years. We've seen a little bit here and there, and maybe more in the undertone of the government. We don't see what's happening in the underbelly,
mm-hmm.
but in the last 4 years, it's come to the surface. And
so you're talking about how the Biden administration, everything he's done the last 4 years has, it's been so blatantly exposed. And I believe the Lord allowed for that to be exposed because the public was so ready for a change. And as you know, we got a mandate in the election of Donald Trump, getting the popular vote and also the electoral vote.
Yes.
Majority. Yep.
And it also came back down, not just from the federal, but the states are seeing it as well, the breakdown, mm-hmm. because of the amendments to our Constitution that have been changed in a really in a bad way. This is not how you legislate law. You should not be changing the amendments as quickly and as fast as we do. So the biggest thing as I was researching this yesterday and today was how do we take this back to a biblical response? And I know we're going to be talking more about about how Trump is dealing with this, but what I looked up was when the scribes slandered and accused Jesus of casting out the demons by the power of Satan, Jesus spoke in parables. And I'll tell you what, we are going to go to a break right now, but we'll be back and we'll talk about those parables right after this break.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Prayer and Share is coming up soon, and I'm excited to be taking your calls and speaking with you again. Did you know you are an integral part of our support? Beginning March 31st and continuing through April 11th, you will be able to stand with us in prayer and financial support. Please begin to pray how you can help WCNO spread the good news of Jesus through our programs and music. Won't you consider making that call? 772-221-1100.
Okay, we are back from our break. Just to reiterate, this is a biblical response, and today we are talking about basically the division we have in America, and it's so evident in our current president and how everybody, not everybody, but the majority of people, it seems, is so against everything he's putting out there. Okay, we see lawsuits that are being filed left and right whenever he tries to do something. And then we had Brenda McMenamin, I don't even know how to say her name.
McMenamin,
who introduced our program today. And what she did was she basically gave us the six areas of presidential authority. So the areas that the Constitution actually speaks about where the president has authority. And then the 19 areas that we as American public have come to expect, which these areas are not what our founding fathers have allowed the president to do. So we started with that. And but before we move forward with our conversation, and my co-host Stephanie Jacobson has been doing such a great job, we want to open the phone lines. Yeah. If anybody wants to call, please call. The phone number is 772-221-1100. It's 772-221-1100. Do you have anything to offer regarding the topic that we were speaking about today, or what Brenda had shared, anything that we're talking about? Please call, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I want to go back to talking about the basic foundation of the Constitution and where it came from. It was come from the biblical principles, and I think that's the biggest breakdown that we have, is we don't go back to the Bible. We talk about church and state, the separation of church and state. That's not what the founders were talking about, and so
it's a lie.
It is a lie.
Yep.
So the whole principle of united we stand, divided we fall, actually comes from a biblical story in the Bible that Jesus was talking in parables, which are stories, which I love stories. But in Mark 3:25, it says, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand."
Yep.
They were blaspheming him because they said he was casting out demons in the name of Satan. And Jesus said, Satan doesn't cast out Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing it in the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew talks about the same thing. And I like his version of it better. He says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You know, because of the damage to our country mm-hmm. that we're seeing, there's a businessman. He came in as a businessman, something outside of the political realm.
Out of the elite.
He is not a savior. He is not our savior. But he understood that America was essentially a business. And he came in, and that's why I voted for him. It wasn't because mm-hmm. he was some, you know, superstar, movie star, or anything like that. It was mm-hmm. that he had a business mind, and he had proven that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's taken that business approach and started cutting back on the pork in our government, like someone would if they came into a business to try, you know, a consultant almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like he's being a consultant, only in a very grander way.
But as Brenda had said in the beginning of the program, the president has the authority to do these things.
Right.
And the American public is, it's hard. It's hard even on you and I, and we completely agree with Trump. Not saying everything,
absolutely.
Right? We support him.
Absolutely.
But it's growing pains because our American public is used to doing all these things that we're not supposed to be doing as a government. And we as a church have also taken a back seat.
We have
some
relinquished
of the things
that
authority. Yes, right?
We've relinquished the
government
the authority.
Has done things that the church should be doing.
Yeah.
So I apologize for interrupting, Stephanie, but
no,
yeah.
Please do. No, we've relinquished that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to the Capitol. I know you've been there. I'm mm-hmm. going to Washington this week. I'm starting to see
mm-hmm.
as our leader takes responsibility and cuts back on things that he's not even supposed to be doing. When he doesn't, it's too much for one person. It's too much for one sitting president to mm-hmm. do all these 19 things. I didn't even know that all of those things, how did they even get that under his jurisdiction? I mean, it's
over hundreds of years. It's just grown and it's grown and it's grown.
It's relinquishing
yeah. mm-hmm.
that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's one call to our listening audience is,
mm-hmm.
you know, get involved at some level. And the best level is the local level.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start building from the local level, it will change that culture in that area. And then when it's being done from the top down,
mm-hmm.
it meets in the middle and we start changing the United States
yeah.
back. And lots and lots and lots of prayer.
We need lots of prayer. Mm. Yeah. That's the only way that we can really move forward. And I believe that the reason why we have President Trump in office is as a result of prayer.
It is.
You know what I mean?
No, yes.
And what he's doing, let's talk about the Department of Education.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big, big, big topic.
It's an animal. Oof.
And I know that, I think originally President Reagan wanted to do this in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are seeing this come to fruition with an executive order the president signed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take an act of Congress to actually get rid of the Department of Education. But under the Department of Education, things have been put under that department that people don't even know about.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like a catch-all for, it's the same kind of as the Department of Agriculture.
Yep.
It's a catch-all for different areas that they want to grow or get, you know, power. They put it under the Department of Education. And the problem is it's not a defining department. So we don't know what is even there. I mean, he's starting to pull things out and people are scrambling and squawking
yep.
because they're like, oh no, they're going to do away with this. And really what they're doing is they're taking a department or something that's underneath the education department and putting it in the correct one so we can actually deal with it. Oh,
so
we have
a caller.
All
and
right.
let's hear what the caller has to say. You're on the phone. Hello, how are you?
Hello,
is this Keith?
Hello. Hey, good afternoon, ladies, or good morning, ladies. How are you?
This is our co-host, Keith Masters. He's on the road, I know. Keith, thank you for calling. We miss you.
What do you got for us?
As I'm listening, it's a great conversation, is that one of the things I got to turn this down. It's feedback.
Yeah,
sorry.
You're going. It's not the
I'm
best.
I'm trying to get
reception.
This just on the phone. How's that? Is that better?
That is better.
Much better, Keith.
Okay. All right.
So you're just going to be joining us from the car, you know? You might as well stay on.
In the book of Proverbs, it says, the Lord tells us, get wisdom, get understanding. And what is missing here with everything that's going on is understanding. And there's no wisdom and there's no understanding from the left. Because, well, they might understand, but they don't want to understand.
When you don't read the Bible or know the Bible, and that's even for Christians, I think, when we don't know it, we can't execute it. And so you can't understand when you don't have Holy Spirit, right?
Right, right. And right, and as you were saying before, it's where they're coming off of the biblical principles. And why? What are we discovering as this is going on? We're discovering fraud. We're discovering theft.
Yep.
We're discovering, evil that is going on. And what did Elon Musk say? The country is going to go bankrupt.
Yep.
And what does the devil come in to do? The devil comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And just what you were saying, Stephanie, where you can, a house divided by itself cannot stand, and that's what Jesus said. And this is what's going on right now between the left and the right. It's division that is trying to tear down the principles of this country and this nation.
Amen.
Completely agree with you, Keith. We miss you in the studio, but yeah, that's completely correct.
And yeah, I mean, you know, if you really go into everything that was spoken about, the responsibilities of the president,
mm-hmm.
he's got all the authority. And as you ladies were saying, the church is not using its authority to bring this back to the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have to pray for the church to rise up. You know what I mean? It's growing pains for the church
to use their authority that God has given each and every one of us and to step out.
You know what? Let's break that down for a second. So, using the term, and I'm not calling you out on this at all. I think we've talked about this before and we agree on it. So let's talk about this on the air for a minute.
Yeah.
The terminology church is a very big, broad term.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is made up of denominations and different, and then you go people. Down to the actual people.
Yep.
And so I think that the church as a whole is a big ship, and God is turning that ship, but it is going to take every individual person, and we harp on this on this show, that it's going to take every individual person to find what their place is in all of this.
Yes, because we each have a part.
We do.
Right?
And we become offended when someone or something like the big government gets into our pocket or gets into our... And so the offense is something we need to deal with in our own hearts. Is there something we need to be changing in our own hearts, lives, and minds, and families, and be willing to make those changes? And sometimes it's going to take a cut, a big cut, that God is changing our hearts and minds from the inside out.
So you're saying with the church, back to Keith's point, that we each have to contribute. Is that what you're saying?
We each have to contribute. So
yeah.
So what does the scripture say that the Lord does? There's a scripture that, let me grab my Bible here. It is in Matthew 10:34, it says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I have not come to bring peace, but a sword.
Mm-hmm.
For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household." So what that's saying is, God is peace. God is love. God is all of these things. But he is also, he also has a sword.
Mm-hmm.
The sword of the Spirit, the word of God is a sword, and that sword cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's what Trump's doing right now. He's coming in with a sword. I'm not saying he's a savior. I do not want emails telling me that he's not our savior. But
no,
but
Stephanie?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt because that's a bullseye, but he understands and he knows his authority, and he's exercising his authority, which the church is not doing.
Right. It is true. And once he does, though, I'm seeing people be more bold since he's willing to stand. They're not afraid. You know, leaders do have a position to lead. And it's not that the church is supposed to be following the government, but they do react when fear is a real thing, man.
Yeah.
And it can come in and it can come in and destroy what we're, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. And so we have to pray against that fear. And what does God say? He comes in, he cuts what he needs to cut. The Bible is a two-edged sword. And with one edge, it cuts, and with one edge, it heals.
Yeah.
And it cuts to heal. What does a surgeon do? He comes in with a scalpel. He doesn't come in with a ball bat. He comes in with a scalpel. He cuts open the skin to let that infection out. And sometimes there has to be a tube there for a while to get that infection out of there. But eventually he sews that back up. There may be a scar, but there's healing.
Yeah.
Healing can come. And that's what I feel like when I look at the government right now, when I look at what's happening in the government, I'm hearing more people talk about it, which needed to happen. People were afraid to even speak about it.
Yeah. Why don't we, Keith, we got to let you go. But Keith, are you still on there? Thank you for calling, because we really appreciate you calling in. No. We miss you, Keith. We'll see you in the studio next week, right?
Yes.
No, we won't be in the studio next week.
Oh, not next week, because it's prayer and cheer.
Yes.
It is the week after.
We can talk about that.
Two weeks from today. God bless you, Keith.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so I'm so glad that even though he couldn't be here today, because it's his son's spring break, so he's on the road and they're having vacation, he was able to call in. But here's a verse I also wanted to bring up. Luke 12:51. Jesus says, "Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." And
explain that. Explain what you think, what that means.
Okay, so when he wrote this, obviously, when this was written, and this is in the book of Luke, this was when he was walking the earth. So when his arrival was, when he came on earth, there was conflict.
Yes, there was.
There was conflict with the Pharisees. There was conflict with the religious Jews, the scribes, because he was stirring things up. You know what I mean? And it's on this show, we support Trump, okay? We are not lifting him up to a savior kind of pedestal position.
No.
But I think it is very clear that the Lord is using Trump.
Yep.
And what is happening is he's also kind of bringing division. He is bringing division because he's doing things that are not comfortable. But they are things that are all legal. You know what I mean? And he's actually restoring. He's restoring the government.
He understands there's too much power in that presidential position. It's too much. And the fact is that we know that God puts men in place and takes them out. And so we were looking at Biden and thinking, you know, we don't want this, we don't want this. But God allowed him to be put in that place. And I believe it was for us to wake up.
Yep.
We needed a wake-up call. And it happened.
And I'm honestly so happy to be living in today's times. And we're seeing, I know it's uncomfortable because it seems like Doge is doing something every day, and it's a little uncomfortable, okay? Because we're not used to the how rapid things are being done
on
the federal level.
With.
But do I agree with it? Yes, I agree with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've had friends who've actually been, they've lost their jobs as a result.
Right.
Okay. But I do know that the overall picture, I keep the overall picture in mind. He is being used by the Lord, in my opinion, and he's restoring things because, the government has been ruled by the elite.
Yep.
A small few. And he is not of the elite. So that's why they are threatened by him. He doesn't care about the elite. You know, even with the 4 years where that was stolen from him when Biden was in.
Right.
You know, he's already been working. So everything that he's, as soon as he got in the office, you see everything that's being done. It's such a rapid speed. It's beautiful to see.
It is beautiful to see. And, you know, you were talking about there's people that are losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't people lose their jobs with COVID?
That's true.
Okay.
I lost my job during COVID.
There you go.
Yep.
And so,
I mean, I'm not saying just me, but
no, I understand.
Yeah,
but there were people that lost their jobs with COVID, and mm-hmm. and it was an agenda. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even to try to help heal anything or get the country back on track. Mm-hmm. It was evil. I mean, I'm going to call it what it was. It was not a good thing. Now, was COVID real? Yes, I believe that there were people that
The virus was real.
Yes,
but
it was.
But it was also a way
manufactured
for the Democrats and for. It was a platform that they used to institute fear, to create fear to then bring in all these policies.
And they did.
But God. I believe. But God. If we are not praying for this country, we would have already been probably like a total, I don't know, not an oligarchy, but we would have been completely ruled by this oligarchy. Yep. So we got to go to a break. But when we come back, we will talk about some of the left-wing judges who are trying to stymie Trump. Hmm.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hey, Mai, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure do. What's on your mind?
Well, I just heard on WCNO that they got the spring prayer and share coming up soon.
That's right. Starts on Monday, March 31st, and runs till April 11th.
I sure want to be listening in for as much of that as I can, Ma. I love it when the WCNO staff comes on live. They get so spontaneous and funny sometimes.
Yeah, and as the days move on, they get kind of punchy. Old Jonathan might make up some new words and phrases, too. Then everybody gets to laugh. Lots of fun, if you ask me.
Oh, sure is. And we get to hear some real good things about God's vision for WCNO. That's a powerful thing, Ma. Oh, and they have guests who got wonderful testimonies.
One of the things that keeps me going is hearing how the Lord's getting His people to give generously. Hearing them numbers go up is really exciting, ain't it, Pa?
You bet. And you know, it helps them to have an idea what folks are giving them as soon as possible. When we get our letter in the mail, we ought to get that response card back to them quickly.
That's right, Pa. And when we fill out that card, let's make sure the handwriting's legible this time.
Now, Ma, I admit I should have asked you to fill out the card last October, but you were gone for a few days, and I couldn't wait to get it in the mail.
Well, I understand your sense of timing, Pa, but when the cow stepped on your writing hand, you could have asked a neighbor to fill it out, or just waited for me when I got home.
What's past is past, okay? This time we'll get it right.
Of course we will. You just take extra care in the barnyard, Pa.
We are back from our break, A Biblical Response, where we are discussing the division in America. And before we go back to it, we just want to remind our listeners that if you want to call, the phone lines are open. The phone number is 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. So before we went to the break, I said that we should talk about the left-wing judges that are trying to stymie Trump. And you know, every Monday we meet in the afternoon to discuss what to talk about. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we wanted to talk about the division, you know what? We do have a call, so we're going to take it right now. Good afternoon. You're on the phone.
Good afternoon. My name is Anne-Marie. I just wanted to comment about, I was up in Massachusetts just recently because of a need of going up and helping my parents. Mm-hmm. I went to Bible college in a town that's pretty typically considered to be patriotic because of being from Massachusetts, with old-fashioned congregational churches. And the sad thing that I saw was I saw rainbow flags sitting mm-hmm. in the courtyards of these churches.
Wow.
And it just broke my heart because it showed that the influence of the left has crept into the areas of churches where people have probably given their lives in the past and maybe have even been involved with the Minutemen that were involved with the revolution that brought about the freedom of our nation, and how the denial of God has just eroded so much of a sense of even conviction, even in church courtyards where they would accept anything. And I just was wondering what you thought of this in light of the fact that we have great responsibility with the fact that God put us in a free country to be able to have our freedom watchfully under the one nation, under God. And I really, in my heart, have been praying for that to return.
That's interesting.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. We appreciate you calling. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Yes. That's good. You know, as I was researching United We Stand, Divided We Fall, the enemy, Satan, wants to just kill, steal, and destroy. We talk about that all the time on this radio station.
Yeah.
But as I was reading down through this rabbit hole that I went in, I also saw some people that turned it around and said, so it was United We Stand, Divided We Fall, but they took it to Divided We Stand, United We Fall. And I'm like, boy, the enemy wants to, and I use this word very carefully, bastardize anything, just a tiny bit, one word,
just a twist it just a little.
Yes. And so that has been happening in the churches until now. It's just like blossomed into they aren't afraid. There are people that are not afraid to speak these things in quote unquote churches.
And it's pure heresy what we're seeing in some churches,
evil.
Not all churches.
It is evil.
Unfortunately, with the, she's talked about the pride flags at churches. Yes, God is love, but they take it to a point where you accept theology that is clearly in the Bible not correct.
It is.
You know what I mean? And my spirit's rising up because I'm like, it's all about the truth. If we don't know the truth of the word,
right,
okay, then we could easily be duped. We could easily be just fooled.
And I would say that the Constitution, you know, we're illiterate in the Constitution, but we're even more so. And I'm talking to myself.
Yes.
I am talking to myself. I'm not talking about to the people out there, but if this fits the bill for you, I'm biblically illiterate to a point. I know the stories. I know that I don't know all the addresses that I need to know when I go. So Google is my best friend when I go.
Praise God for Google, because you may know the concept and be like, oh, it's in Matthew 10.
I do that.
But I am constantly being reminded by our loving Holy Spirit, who only gently reminds us. He's not convicting. He's not condemning. We need to be, and I love that your Bible is wide open right in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
We need to be in the Word.
Yep.
Okay? And I'm not saying like, let's read a verse here or there. Okay, well, I should back up. We need to study the word. Study to show yourselves approved. Okay, that's not just reading a verse and then, you know, one verse a day or whatnot. We have to actually study, and my pastor at Revive Church is really big into this. Look at the context of what the word, of what chapter you're reading. Look at the whole context. Karen, our producer, was saying during the break, in the Old Testament, there's a whole pattern of, if you read Judges, right, even before the book of Judges, you have these kings that rule. And at the end of the chapter, he ruled evil in the sight of the Lord. Another chapter, there's a king that ruled evil. And then the next one, he was a good ruler, like King Josiah. Okay?
Yes.
And the reason why she was talking about that is because there is a pattern in the Bible that we as Christians need to get involved in government. If there is a bad ruler, we have to rise up. And, you know, I worked for government for 20 years. And I did that. I had no... That was not my path. I'm looking at you and I'm like, I planned. The Lord gave me a heart of journalism. I thought I was going to be in journalism for the rest of my career. And then I prayed about it and the Lord led me to government. And I've always been civically minded, but we need to have people who actually are involved in government. We have Stephanie here who is going to be going to DC tonight and she's going to be getting involved in government. And I think that it's important that we as a church... The devil has told the church to not get involved in government. If we did not raise our voices to defeat Amendment 4, which would have completely made abortion legal in Florida.
Up to birth.
And you beyond. Know, yes. Then that would have been law here. But we had, as a church, and not only the church, but there were conservative voices that rised up to defeat that. So go ahead, Stephanie. I see you, like antsy, wanting to read something in the Word.
No, I was just going to do the rest of that scripture where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So it's really not even
for each other.
It's that God sees that we are diligent about this.
Yep.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So
Amen.
It says, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what I'm thinking. The word comes to divide, but it also comes to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard a preacher say one time, I preach the same sermon every Sunday, just from a different scripture, just from a different part of the, just from a different part of the Bible. And we wonder why it doesn't contradict itself, because it doesn't. It is just because
the Holy Spirit inspired, how many books do we have? 66 books.
And just because it cuts and divides, you got to remember it also heals. So don't be afraid to get in there and say, and get your hands dirty with the biblical principles and the questions that you have. Talk to somebody about it. And if you don't agree with them, talk it out. It's the same thing with politics. People think, oh, I don't want to talk about politics. Well, if we don't have a conversation, how are we ever going to know how to think? And
if we don't get involved in politics, then we are saying essentially, okay, we just give that area to the world.
It becomes a vacuum.
Let it just, you know. So here, I have to read Hebrews 4:12.
Go for it.
Okay. Which states, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So when we talk about studying the Bible, we all have, when we become saved, we have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Holy Spirit will counsel and guide us.
Yes, amen.
Okay, when you first become saved, you may have these interests that you had and passions that you had before you got saved. But as you bring in the Word, and He is the Word, John 1, then your thoughts, everything changes to what He wants, what He desires. And it's the Word that brings this transformation.
Amen.
And that is what we as a church need to be steeped in, the Word. And unfortunately, if we're not steeped in the Word, the truth becomes twisted. And we have these churches, unfortunately, that have this theology that to me is just heresy.
It is.
And we don't condemn them, but we have to pray for them. But we as a church need to be biblically literate.
Yeah, they're blinded. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing is praying for our leaders. That is biblical, tells us to pray for our leaders, whether they're following Christ or not. You know, it's interesting to watch this administration do what they're doing. I mean, I am amazed that, honestly, voting for a businessman, you think, well, at least he's following business principles. But there is this glimmer of light and a glimmer of hope with the faith team that he's got around him. That's not something that's been out in the open before.
Yeah.
With an administration. Governor DeSantis has a faith team that is standing strong.
Yep.
And
well, let's just talk about that, because the past president, he basically persecuted, in my opinion, Christians. Okay.
And now we have a
supporter in the White House
to saying stand up. He wants
for the
church
to stand up. You look at his first cabinet meeting, and then you have the HUD secretary. He's like, would you please give grace? That's what he said. He spoke. Mm-hmm. And then I got a video sent to me this week of them singing hymns in the cabinet room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now the Lord is being welcomed back. Okay, that's why this nation is going to transform. There's going to be reformation, and the only way to do it is if we bring back the Lord the into
Bible,
this country.
Yes.
But there's no other way.
Let me tell you, I sat down with the faith team up in Tallahassee, and I want to tell
for
the people of Florida that you are so fortunate to have that. In fact, my friend was here last week on air with us, and she's a legislator in Missouri, and she's actually taking back that idea to Missouri.
Beautiful.
I mean, you would think that every state would have something like that. And I do know that they have a little one, but it's not as active as our faith team is. Our faith team is on the ground, boots on the ground. What can we do? You know, they were asking me about the Post Abortive Women and how can we help them? And I said, how can we help you? That's what I want to know. How can we help you? And they were very welcoming. They wanted to know how can, you know, what is it that we can do to work together? That hasn't happened before. For them to open up that pathway, I mean,
well, that brings me to the pattern that we saw with our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. The church and the government worked together. Right? Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. had people back then, the preachers back then, who were basically getting the church to be like, okay, what's happening in Great Britain is not right. Let's take up and bear up arms against what's happening.
And they did.
So now we have the church and the government now working together, which is, in my opinion, God's pattern.
Amen.
And you talk about the faith office. Eric Dellenbach leads Eric the faith Dellenbach. Office in Tallahassee. Yep. Great man. When we were fighting Amendment 4, there were weekly calls that Eric had that I sat on.
Yes.
Weekly.
I didn't know you were on those. I was on those.
Absolutely.
yeah, those were good.
And we have to have the church and the government working together. You cannot do it when one is separated. The church cannot be on its own. It has to engage in culture. It has to engage in society.
By the way, yes, it does. And by the way, speaking of that, be looking for them to start those calls back up.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we have anything wrong at this moment or something we're really fighting against, but they're trying to bolster where we're leading instead of trying to be on the defense of something.
So they're continuing the movement.
They are continuing the faith team.
And you know Turning Point too, right? Charlie Kirk?
Yes.
Okay, it's a huge movement. It's student-led at first.
Yes.
But now they have TPUSA Faith.
Right.
And we also have a faith, I want to say, coordinator in Florida who actually meets with the pastors in Florida to work and educate the pastors on different things. It's Pastor Seth Tweedale.
Okay.
Okay. And he's the TPUSA Faith coordinator for TPUSA Faith in Florida. And what he's doing is he's going to different churches and talking to the pastors, kind of what Kevin Baird does.
That's what I was just going to say.
At Florida Family Voice in Orlando.
Yes.
And we are basically wanting to engage and equip the church.
Amen.
Enough is enough.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Enough is enough. And now we are seeing what's happening. And to me, I'm so excited.
Kevin Baird up in
Pastor Kevin. Yep.
Yes, him and his wife. They are powerhouse Tracy. People, man. They are on the boots on the ground as well. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to see people that are actually making a difference. Every Monday and Tuesday, during session, they engage pastors to come to the Capitol.
Yep,
they will encourage you. They will show you what is going on in the Capitol. They'll take you, and then you get to go and talk to your own legislators.
That's the way it should be. They should be working together.
Those legislators want to hear from us.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear from the pastors. So don't think you're just out there on an island on your own. If you're within listening distance of us, you're not. And they are willing to engage with you. So, you know, go back on the internet, find your legislators, call Florida Family Voice and get involved, especially if you're a pastor or a leader in your church.
Yeah.
Because they would love to be able to contact
the station, 772-221-1100, even when we're not live. And if you want to connect with any of these organizations, here's a quote that I want to read.
Okay.
It's easier to maintain ground that's been gained than trying to get it back. Mm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So if we've already made gains in things in government, we want to maintain that. We don't want to go back and if we lose it and then get it back, that's even more hard. So we need to continue maintaining. And that's going to be important when Trump is out of office, to continue maintaining.
Yeah.
And that's why we're already praying, like, who's the next president? You know?
Yes.
We have to we have to look forward.
You know, I would like to engage the people of Florida. I know you fought really hard with Amendment 4, and I'm so, I say proud very carefully, but I am proud of the state, because we have
too.
Other states that are looking at us. I'm actually helping to fight up in Missouri, because that's where I'm from, and they went from no abortions, zero, to abortion up to birth and beyond. So now they're doing abortions up there, and they will go up to birth. So I'm engaged in that fight up there, and you know, so that's what you were just talking about.
Yeah, let's urge all our listeners, because we have only a minute left before we're off the show. We have to urge all our listeners to get involved, whatever state they may be.
Amen.
Because I know that this is mostly Florida, but we had Anne-Marie call from Massachusetts. Anne-Marie called from Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, they've got a home state somewhere, because a lot of them are snowbirds, too.
That's true. You're right. They may be going back to Illinois or whatnot, where I'm from. But we thank you, Lord, for just what you're doing mm-hmm. in the church. And I pray that the church would rise up during this moment, yes, Lord amen. God. I pray that you would instill an authority, Lord God, yes, and Jesus. Just a desire to just stand up for what is right. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, we thank you for listening today. God bless you. And we look forward to next week's, two weeks from now. We're not on the next 2 weeks because of
but
prayer and share.
But be listening
yes. and please contribute to WCNO. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.